I call this a time that you're going into a new year. Homecoming always means we're going into a new year. And I want to share with you what I heard the Holy Spirit say to me. In 2020, it is very important that you as an individual and you as a church know your assignment. There are so many people that go out to meet the Lord that never fulfill their assignment. Now you can amen me. People live to die. People work to retire. And the sad thing is that when we do these things, we're wasting the gift that God has given us called present. We spend so much time as individuals working for tomorrow and not living for today. Come on now. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. But God spoke to me to tell me to tell you that you need to know your assignment. Don't just wing it. So many people just wing it. So many Christians just wing it. Okay. They're lukewarm. If people really was on fire for God, they'd be in church this morning. If people were really on fire for God, they would read the Word of God. They would pray. They would study. They would be, like David said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. But the one thing I want to share with you is this. How many of you know that life is in seasons?
Yes.
I have been wrestling for the past 6 months on what God wants me to do. I took a sabbatical. I went to my home church. And let me just tell you, it's not always true. You can't go home again. Because sometimes you're so much further along in God than they're at. And if a person is in the same place, and you've heard me say this before, with God that they were last year, they have backslid. The Word of God says that we're supposed to go from glory to glory to glory. And I want to share with you, I feel this in my spirit. There's someone here you're even wrestling with, what is season am I in? But I'm going to tell you something. Never judge someone based on a season.
Yeah,
come on, don't you die on me. Yeah. Glory to God. One season, David was a shepherd. The next season, he was a king.
Yes,
one season, Ruth was working in the field. The next season, Ruth was owning that same field.
Yes,
Mordecai, in one season, was sitting outside the king's palace. The next season, he was inside the palace. Come on now. We serve a God who turns things around. We serve a God of unmerited favor.
Yes, thank you.
We serve a God that whenever we ask anything in His name, believing it, He's going to do it.
Amen.
But how do I know my assignment? Every time you think you've been rejected, anybody ever felt like they were rejected? Come on now. God actually was redirecting you to something better. Glory to God. There's people in your life that are going to reject you. There are people in your life that won't celebrate your victories. There's people in your life that won't celebrate when God's being good to you. There's people in your life that you just got to give the gift of goodbye. Glory to God, you got to look at them, as you've heard me say before, say, Bueno dias, sayonara, and I won't see you tomorrow. Glory to God, hasta la vista, buenos dias, sayonara, nachos and cheese, and I won't see you tomorrow. There are some people in your life that you got to give the gift of goodbye if you want God to take you somewhere. There's people that are casualties, and there's people that are blessings.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to know the difference. There is people that withdraw from you. You've heard me say this before, but for you that haven't heard it, there's people that have withdrawal from you, but they never make a deposit.
Yep. Amen.
They'll suck the life out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll leave you dehydrated and starving as they move to the next victim.
Yep.
Glory to God. Now listen. God never takes away something from your life without replacing it with something greater.
Yes, amen.
Come on now.
Yes, amen.
God knows who belongs in your life and who doesn't. Trust and let go. Whoever is meant to be there will still be there when you're going through hell.
Amen. Yep.
When the going gets tough, you'll see who is with you through thick and thin. You'll know people because they will always say, "How can I help you?"
Amen.
Think about it. Not what can you do for me?
That's right.
See, I've had to learn that in 25 years of pastoring. I've had to learn that in 29 years of preaching. See, there's just some people that said they were going to be with me, but where are they now?
That's right.
Glory to God. Just like Jesus. You remember the story. I got to go quickly. Jesus, Peter says, "You know what? I will never deny you. I'll stick with you no matter what. Come hell or high water. I'm with you, Jesus." He was cocky within himself.
Yeah.
And Jesus looked at him and he said, "Son, before the rooster crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times." The third time he denied him, the Word of God said he began to cuss. The thing is, the same people that Jesus had healed, the same people that Jesus had touched, the same people that Jesus fed was saying, "Crucify him." And if you study real quickly about Barabbas, Barabbas' name was actually Jesus Barabbas. J-E-S-U-S. So they would rather have had the false than the real deal.
Yeah.
They would rather have had a murderer than a savior. Y'all come on now. Y'all dying on me this morning. Glory to God, because I don't know about you, but as a child of God, I wake up every morning realizing God has given me an assignment and I have to fulfill it.
Amen.
I have to fulfill it. I got to go quickly. It doesn't take much effort to do what everyone else is doing. Right? A dead fish can float downstream.
That's right. Yep.
Amen?
Amen.
It takes a live one to swim upstream. Mm-hmm. It's easy to be common. The pressure comes when you decide to be uncommon.
Yes, amen.
So what is my assignment? If you will, turn to the book of book of Psalm, chapter number 37. And I want you, if you will, to stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 9 and 23 through 26. Think about this. Think about this. Here we go. "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass." Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
"And wither as the green," excuse me, "and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed of his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and listen, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." He says, if you'll commit your ways to the Lord, trusting also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. What that stands for is in due time. Rest in the Lord, hallelujah, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his ways, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. Can I amen me on that one? When you worry, it causes harm to you. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Now go to verses 23 through 26. The Bible says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, a righteous man, and he delights in his way. Though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants or his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed." Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Real quickly, as I go quickly, because I'm going to have to, if I want to get anything to you this morning. How many of you this morning, and don't guess it, And you don't even have to raise your hand. But how many of you this morning know God's assignment for your life? 9 out of 10 people don't. You know why? Because you're scared to get out of the boat. Come on. You're scared to walk by faith and not by sight. You're scared. See, the thing is simply this. And I know I've shared it here before, but I feel like the Holy Spirit's just directed me to say it again. When the men seen Jesus walking on the sea, if you remember the story, the Bible said, Peter said, "Bid me come unto thee." Let's break it down, 2019. "Hey, Jesus, can I come out there where you at?" Jesus said, "Come." He never said, "Peter." He said, "Come." Which means God is in specifics. Amen?
Yes.
You have one pastor. You have deacons or elders. You have leaders. And you have flock. Yeah. Flock don't lead the shepherd. The shepherd leads the sheep.
That's right.
Yeah. Anything out of order is chaos. Amen?
Right.
Glory to God. So catch this. So Jesus says, "Come." There was other men on the boat, but Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water. And the Bible said that as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, can I preach a second? As long as he kept his eyes on the purpose,
yes, amen.
He didn't begin to sink.
Yeah, well,
it's when he started looking to the right and to the left. Can I tell you something this morning? If you want God to take you somewhere, get your eyes off man and get your eyes on God.
Yes, amen.
Whenever they said that Lazarus was dead. See, I told you God's a God of specifics. He dies. Jesus comes. How many of you know that Jesus is never late? He's right on time.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
So the thing is, they said, "If you'd have been here, Jesus, our brother wouldn't have died." He said, "Take me to the tomb." Bible even says Jesus wept. But here's what I love. Jesus looked in that tomb. And if he would not have spoke Lazarus, everybody dead inside that tomb would have came out.
That's right.
He was specific. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." Lazarus came forth, and Lazarus didn't come like Jesus wanted him to come. He said, "Loose him." Talk about the grave clothes. "Loose him and let him go."
Amen.
God's a God of specifics. But do you know your assignment? Real quickly, and I know I'm not going to get this done. Number one, 10 keys, and I'm not going to give them all to you. To know, to uncovering God's assignment for yourself and this church. This young man's got an assignment. This young man's got an assignment. This young lady's got an assignment. These two young ladies, this young lady. God has given you an assignment. Because the Bible said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I knew the plans that I had for you."
Amen.
It's up to us to fulfill God's assignment for our life. Because can I tell you something? When you stand before God, if you didn't fulfill your assignment, you got an incomplete. Come on now. How many people or bodies, if you will, are laying in the graves of this area that didn't fulfill their assignment? Because they were scared to get out of the boat.
Yep.
"But Pastor, you don't, Jonathan, you don't understand. I've tried." Well, I'm going to show you that you tried the wrong way today, if you'll allow me. I got to stay on these notes. Number one. To uncovering God's assignment for your life. What is the deepest desire of your heart? Come on. What's that thing that you have said? "I really would love to do this. I would love," let's just say this, "I would love to be a pastor of a church." Please be careful what you pray for.
Amen.
Because it's the second leading cause of suicide in America. Right after a doctor. Dang, I'm in trouble. That's two ways right there. But the thing is, it's the second leading cause of suicide. See, you can tell your pastor or pastors or whomever you go to church your problems and you can leave them there.
That's right.
But your problem ain't the only problem that he's had this week.
You're right.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
But what is that desire? What is your deepest desire? I've pastored for 25 years, but I've always had the heart of evangelism.
Yes.
I had a young man, one of my spiritual sons, text me a while ago. And he's texted me, and he pastors down in Taylorsville. And he said, I'm praying for you, Pastor. I love you. 20-some-year-old boy. He reminds me so much of Pastor Philip. He's had all them grandmas bring those granddaughters to the church and say, I believe this is the one for you, honey.
Yeah.
He told me the same thing. I said, well, you sound just like Philip. I said, well, I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. I'll sell them 2 for $1 after church today if you want one. Because at 20-some years old, I was pastoring without a wife.
Yeah.
And after church, we played the dating game. Hallelujah. My son, I'd love for you to meet my granddaughter. I don't want to meet her. Because if she's anything like you, God forbid that's not the right one for me. If you want to know what the granddaughter's going to look like 50 years, look at the grandma. Jesus, hallelujah. But Psalm 37:4, we just read this a while ago. It says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Please listen. There is nothing that your heart desires if it lines up with His Word that He won't do.
Amen.
That's the key though.
That's right.
Your heart has to line up with His Word. How many of you know sometimes something looks good and it's a counterfeit?
Yeah.
Maybe that first marriage. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Woo! Preaching to the choir. That first marriage looked good. Mm-hmm. Whew. Aren't you glad it didn't come to stay, it come to pass? Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. But think about this. We were getting ready to buy a home. $195,000 home. We offered him $175,000. We said, God, if it's your will, it's your bill. If this is what you want, make it happen. Well, it wasn't what God wanted. I talked to my banker. She's actually an accountant of mine, too. And I was talking to her, and I said, Kelly, talk to me about this house. She said, well, Jonathan, if y'all did a 30-year mortgage on this house, it'll actually cost y'all $609,000 in 30 years. Now, I don't take a rocket scientist to realize I don't want to be making a house payment at 75. I want to be sitting in my rocking chair, rocking. I said, that don't sound the will of God to me.
Amen.
And I told her, I said, now, Kelly, what if I build onto my house? She said, well, that'd be awesome, Jonathan. You can build on. She said, $90,000. I was thinking $97,000 plus $47,000 sounds a whole lot better than $137,000. And not even what that house called, better than $609,000. I said, okay. Well, the guy came to look at the house. He said, I could build you 2 rooms. I can build you a master bath. I need a bathroom of my own. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I got all girls. And Jesus take the wheel. But I've cut myself shaving because they opened the door. I almost got my jugular a couple of times. And I'm like, I need a bathroom. Y'all, you men can say amen if you got daughters. Hallelujah. I'll tell you this much. Glory to God, I got 6 daughters. From 23 to 5, no boys. Had to get me a male dog to get some testosterone around the house. And sometimes I question his manhood. But then when he said that, he said, I think I can do it for $60,000.
Yes, amen.
You're missing it. We're going to build it like we want it. See, the reason being, well, let me change that, the way Heather wants it. Because I had a meeting with a contractor Thursday at 6. I was running late. By the time I got home, he done showed me what they were going to do to the house. And then they asked me, or they were showing me, said, what do you think? I'm like, y'all don't even care. He done outlined this thing, got the doors here. I said, all I want is an 8-foot privacy fence so Diesel, my dog, can run around the yard. And then Heather's like, well, I don't like what he taught. So talk to him. As long as I got a place to sleep, man, food to eat, and like a dog, somebody rub my belly from time to time, I'm good.
Amen.
Think about it. We all have dreams. We all have wishes. These are not desires, but merely passing thoughts. He said he'd give you the desires,
yep,
not your fantasy.
That's right. That's right.
I told God when I was an EC teacher, did that for many years teaching. And I always told God, I said, God, I want to be in ministry full time. See, I didn't say pastoring. I said ministry. And then when this job opened as a chaplain, I went to interview. They offered it to me, told me what my contract was going to be. And as I was leaving, God says, son, I answered your prayer. But not the way you thought I'd answer it. Come on, I should have preached right there. Sometimes God will answer your prayer even though you didn't pray like he answered.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad that you didn't make a stupid decision? As I've told you before, don't make a permanent decision based on a temporary situation. Glory to God, you cannot look by the natural eye.
Yes.
The Word of God said we walk by what, church? Faith, not by sight. Faith is an action word. Faith stands for forsaken all, I trust him. How do I have power in my life? Power stands for praise overcomes when evil rises.
Yes.
The Word of God said when the enemy come in like a flood, he'll raise a standard. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. But what is the desire? Am I helping you this morning? Some things is a fantasy. I want a purple Jeep. Y'all should have known that. But I just don't want to have the payment.
Amen.
I like my pit mobile. My 22 and a half inch rims on my Ford Ranger Edge paid for with a title in my pocket. I just don't want to be in debt.
Amen.
The Bible said what, did it not, church? The servant, the borrower is servant to the lender. If you don't believe me, let your bill get past due. A caller ID, show the bank. Uh-huh. Don't answer that. That's the bank. They're going to keep calling. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Back before caller ID, you'd get your kids to lie. Tell them I'm not home. Daddy said he's not home. Think about it. You will discover your destiny and God's assignment as you clarify what you really want. Clarify it. The Bible even said to call things that are not as though they were.
That's right.
Sometimes we don't, sister, we don't pray specific. God's in detail and God's in specifics. Every single person that comes to me, I got a couple, they want me to marry them in May. And they said, well, what's the plan? I said, 16 weeks of premarital counseling. 4 months. I said, and we're going to get together. You're going to have homework. Every young person that comes to me and says, I want God to bring me, send me a Christian man, I say, be specific. If you like tall guys, don't settle for a chubby small one. Why shop for a canoe when God said build an ark? Are you with me? Send me a Christian guy. If you're praying that prayer, high five yourself. You didn't say a denominational one.
Amen.
Glory to God, I want a Christian guy. I'm going to tell you, young ladies, I don't know why the Holy Spirit's directed me to say this, but a man that's chasing God's heart will preserve yours.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
If he's chasing God's heart, he'll take care of yours.
Yeah.
So, number two, you need to clarify what you really want. If you're here today, the Bible even said this. I know I've got to go. But the Bible even said this to write the vision. Make it plain. Make it plain. You got to write it. You got to speak it every day. I know this is a bad analogy, but Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey still wears a suit today to work. Steve Harvey lived in his car for years. But he dressed the profession. He got out of that car, put his suit on every day. Steve Harvey said within him, said, I want to be a comedian. I want to be a world famous comedian. I want to be a comedian. That's my passion. That's my desire. That's my heart. What if Steve Harvey would have said, I don't want it that bad?
Yeah.
You'd missed out on some good comedy, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I love Steve Harvey. Glory to God. I love the testimony he's now got. See, the thing is, you see people that succeed, are succeeding today, and you're envious of them. They were once you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Come on. They were once you. How do you know that, Jonathan? Because they had a dream.
Yeah.
They had a dream. A quote that I have in my office at work says, dream big, my soul, dream big. God thinks his thoughts through you.
Yeah.
You got a dream.
Amen.
Somebody in this house, I hear the Holy Spirit saying, you need to dream again.
Yes,
glory to God, you need to dream. Just because it didn't happen the way you thought it was going to happen, don't mean that God has forgotten you. It doesn't mean that God's not going to fulfill that vision inside you. It just means there was just some place you had to exit to enter into his promise. I'm going to tell you something. I thank God, Pastor Philip, that I ain't pastoring the first church I pastored. You can't pastor family. Forget that. It don't work. You can't pastor family. Heather will tell you, there was times I preached to my family on Sunday morning. We was going to go to church. If it was just Heather, Samantha, Victoria, and Sierra, and me and Heather, that's six, and that's more than two or three. Hallelujah. But you got to preach, hallelujah, you got to preach to six like you would preach to 6,000.
Yes, amen.
You got to sing to six like you would sing to 6,000.
Yes, amen.
Glory to God. Number two, and I'm just as far as I'm going to be able to get. What stirs your passion? What stirs it? When are you the best you? Come on. If you're the smartest person in your group, get another group. Amen?
Amen.
Get another group. I want to be the dumbest person in a group. Why do you think when you start a new job, they don't put you with a person that misses work every other day? They put you with the person that does the best job that you're going to be doing.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
When I first started as a chaplain with Mountain Valley, oh my gosh, I'll tell you what, medical field kick your tail. I have to document everything. Lord, have mercy. The visiting's fun. It's when you have to document the visit. And God forbid you don't check a box. But the thing is, they put you with somebody that's the best. See, sometimes, as I talked about seasons, I know the season that I'm in. The season that I'm in is the fall season of my life. I have no problem telling you. God has spoken to me a clarion call and told me to be the covering of young ministers.
Amen.
I've already had my spring and summer.
Yeah.
I'm in the fall season. If I never pastor again, that's great. Because I have a congregational size right now, 56 patients that need me Monday through Friday.
Yep.
That's my congregation. Let me tell you something that's sad. 9 out of 10 people in hospice have no church affiliation. They're Baptist faith, Christian faith, but they don't have a pastor. That's my congregation. I love what I do. And you know, the thing I tell him, Pastor Philip, is I give him my personal cell phone number. And I said, I don't care if it's 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. If you need me, I'll drive to your house and I'll pray with you.
Mm-hmm.
See, I know the desire of my heart. I have always had a desire to serve others.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do. Serve others. Christ was a servant of all.
Yeah.
He served people.
Yeah.
Pastoring is serving. Pastoring is crucifying yourself every day. for the betterment of the people. Don't watch the football game until 11:30 Saturday night. Say, God, give me a word for in the morning.
Right.
Hallelujah. You should have been getting that word Sunday night after the Sunday night service for Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Passion. What is passion? Zeal. Fire. Excitement or intensity that you can feel on the inside toward things that are important to you. Here's the problem. Got one more thought and I'm done. The problem is we want the oil, but we don't want to pay the price.
Amen?
It always going to cost you something to get something from God. It's always going to cost you. Why do you think the Apostle Paul said it so wonderfully? For I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live, not I, that Christ lives within me. And the life that I live is his life that I, he said, that I would be just like him.
Yeah.
He even said this, and I shared it before. He said, those things that I count as gain for myself are but dung that I may win Christ.
Yes.
It's going to cost you something. I hear preachers all the time, maybe you have in your years of pastoring. I want the anointing of T.D. Jakes. That came with a price.
Yeah.
He got out the boat. You might say, Pastor Jonathan, that's crazy. What are you saying? People want to celebrate that big church he has in Dallas.
Yeah.
But he was preaching one time in the first church in Charleston, West Virginia, got excited, jumped up, fell through the floor.
Yeah, go ahead.
He went to the power company. They cut off his power. And he said, hey, I'm T.D. Jakes. Nice to meet you. Listen, I'm working for God full time. Okay? If that be the case, is God gave you a paycheck because you ain't getting your power cut back on until you pay us? It comes with a price.
That's right. Amen.
Everything in God comes with a price.
Yes.
First off, you got to celebrate the small things in life.
Amen.
The small things. Your passion. See, can I tell you something today as I land this plane? When you are trying to uncover God's assignment for your life, you must remember we're not deciding, we're discovering.
That's right.
Is anybody in this house going to be honest and say, in my life I've settled? I've settled for things in my life. I've settled because I didn't think that I deserved any more better than I got. I settled because I sat there and said, God, there is no way you could take somebody like me, put me in seminary, and get the degrees that I have. Do you not understand? Glory to God, at one time in my life, I had a stuttering problem. I couldn't read. I was in chapter one reading. I know some of you kids that don't know what that is. You know, I'm an old man, born in 1974. But we had a chapter one reading program. I was ashamed to read in class because I would stutter. And the kids would make fun of me. And the thing is, when God called me to preach, I looked at him and said, you must have called my cousin. And I just heard it.
Yeah.
I can't talk. I stutter. And the thing was simply this. When God called me to pastor at 20 years old, I'm going to tell you something right now. A 20-year-old trying to pastor, I feel sorry for you because I was dumber than a box of bricks. When somebody told me, remember Joseph and Mary, the coat of many colors, I thought they were talking about Joseph and Mary's or Jesus' earthly father. I didn't know he had an awesome coat like that. I'll check it out. But see, the thing is, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called.
That's right. That's right.
See, he don't need another Rod Parsley.
That's right.
He just needs you.
That's right. Amen.
God don't need another Philip Green. He needs you.
Yeah.
God don't need another Jonathan Cass Stevens. He needs you. You might say, Pastor, or Jonathan, what are you saying? I'm going to tell you something. You were not an oopsie.
Yes, amen.
You were purposed.
Yes,
I know I got to land this plane. Glory to God. But you were purposed.
Yes, amen.
Maybe you was raised by a single parent.
Okay.
Maybe you was raised by a mama because the daddy were too sorry to accept responsibility. You might have been, you know, there's people. You are not a mistake.
Amen.
You are destined. You are purposed. You are called.
Yeah.
You are. You are.
Amen.
But the problem is we as Christians are scared to get out of the boat. We're scared to step into desire. See, the things, how many of you know the difference between spirit and flesh?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, we battle it, don't we?
Yeah.
I battle flesh every day.
Yeah.
That's my thorn in the flesh.
Yeah.
There's some people I'd rather knock out than say hey to. Let's just be real and agree on it like it is. There's some people you can see up in the Walmart at Boone going down the cereal aisle and you'll go all the way over to the produce just not to speak to them. Where are we going? I gotta get an apple. I thought we was getting cereal. Oh, we'll come back by. There's just some people that you can't be around. Am I talking to anybody but me? Hallelujah. There's just some people I have to love from a distance. And 9 times out of 10, they're family. But the thing that I'm telling you, as we start, we're discovering. Proverbs 20:34, and I'm going to stop. That's 2 out of 10. We're 20% there. Proverbs 20:34 says this, and you should know it. A man's steps are ordered by the Lord. Some says a good man's steps, a righteous man. But if you're serving God, your steps are ordered by Him.
Amen.
See, the sad thing is, and I'm going to say this the right way. If it's not going toward production, somebody got off the path.
Yeah.
And it wasn't God. Too many men of God have fallen to the wayside because they felt like they should give up. I can't tell you in 29 years of preaching that I haven't wanted to give up. I can't tell you in 25 years of pastoring, I think that's where God is telling me to stop right there pastoring and start pouring. I can't tell you in 25 years of pastoring that I didn't want to get, that I was like, I don't want to get the pulpit this morning. They're never going to change. How many of you ever felt that way? I just beat my teeth against my gums. They're never going to listen. What about that one person that walks through the doors that Sunday morning that's there to listen?
Yeah, amen.
Yes, this journey cost you something.
Yes,
it's cost you your life.
Yeah.
But what is your desire?
Yeah.